how beautiful you are, forgiving, for living, how beautiful you are, for being, for seeing, I sing this song from my heart, how beautiful you are.
Well, hello, beautifuls, and welcome to the Psychic Therapist Show, where we explore everyday life and answer your questions using both psychology and spirit. And today's show is all about you having your heart's desire, particularly in the area of love, and discovering why you may keep attracting the heartbreak type of relationship over and over again instead of the one you want. So listen in as we provide some practical tools that you can implement immediately to begin to change these patterns that move you into having a relationship that match your true heart's desire. We'll be answering callers' questions on romantic, love, spousal, family, all kinds of relationship questions throughout the show, so you can call in at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. I'm Evie Kane, a lifelong psychic and clinical psychotherapist. You can find out more about my work at eviekane.com. That's eviekane.com. My special guest today is Audra Garcia. She's a premier psychic on the 1-2 Listen Worldwide Psychic Network and the host of one of its most popular radio shows called The Love Quest. Audra specializes in helping people bring more love into their lives, and she's a master at helping you get down to the heart of the matter. And she's so passionate about this purpose, and she's always such fun to work with and such a delightful person. So we're all in for a treat today. So welcome, Audra. Are you with us?
I am here, and thank you so, so much for inviting me to be on the show. I'm so excited.
Well, I am. That makes two of us. I'm just really excited to roll something out for the listeners. I was mentioning to the Audra that they're in for a treat today because while we're talking throughout the show, Audra has designed an amazing divination tool using the tarot that helps people get deep, deep into the shadow or subconscious reasons about what might be blocking love in their life. And we'll talk more about that later. But for those of you that call in, she'll be using those tools live on air to help you uncover some of the reasons for these repeating patterns in love. So once again, you can call us at 888-815-9756. So, Audra, you know, we both work with lots of clients in different ways, and I was just curious on, you know, some of the, we say about the reasons that people keep on having the same heartbreak relationship in different forms and ways, but still repeating patterns. And so, would you be willing to share with the listeners what you see are some of the reasons that keep people doing this?
Well, I think there's kind of two things. The first is like that subconscious programming, which I know you are absolutely an expert on, that that stuff that gets programmed in, whether it's from this lifetime or other lifetimes, when we're kids this time around, that stuff gets programmed into our subconscious, and we just keep doing the same thing over and over and over. You know, we may go a different direction with guys, like we may date losers, and then we're like, okay, I'm going to get a guy who has a really good job this time, but then he's the same jerk in disguise. And no offense to guys, I'm just using a guy as an example because I'm a girl, but you know, this is definitely not gender specific, that's for sure.
Right.
But then you get in a relationship with the same person again, and it's like, okay, why is this happening? And the thing is, we always get what we want. And sometimes our mind wants something other than what our subconscious mind wants, and it's getting those two things into alignment. So I think that happens. And then the other thing that happens is I think sometimes, and this is kind of the same thing, but maybe not, we get it stuck in our heads, what we want. And That's not it at all.
Right. I think sometimes we consciously want really healthy things, but we haven't cleaned up or we're unaware of what's going on in the subconscious. I completely agree with that, Audra. And we have a caller, Michelle, from California. Michelle, are you there?
Hi, ladies. Thank you for taking my call.
You're so welcome, Michelle. How can we help you today? What's your question?
I feel like I called on the right day because it's about my love life, which is pretty much non-existent and has been for a while. But mm-hmm. I've recently met someone, and it's very interesting because it's going really slow.
It's going really slow? Is that what you said?
Yes, very slow. Which I guess is refreshing for me, but I mean, I haven't been in a relationship for years. And so I guess my question would be, this new person that's shown up, do you see how this is going to pan out? Because I'm open to it just becoming whatever it needs to be at this point.
Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, I'm going to, I know Audra's going to dig in with this, but I just wanted to ask you, when you say that it's going so slow, how long have you been involved with this person?
Oh, just for like 3 weeks this month.
Okay. So part
yeah.
of... part
I'm sorry,
of,
I have to get off that one.
So, because part of what I was picking up when you were speaking, I'm so glad I asked you that question that's coming out, is this part of you that doubts because he's maybe he or she may not be coming forward in the way that you think is what you need and want. And in doing that, it's like one thing that I always say to people is you don't really even have a clue of who somebody is until 3 months because they're auditioning for the part to be the significant other. So part of what I want to say to you is to just enjoy this part of the process because right now, today, and how you're suiting up and showing up in that relationship is how it will pan out. And not to be worried about, well, what does this mean or how come this hasn't happened yet, okay? And then I'm going to turn it over Miss Audra, Michelle, because I'm sure she's got some great input for you.
Okay. So, Michelle, you haven't been in a relationship for a while prior to this person coming into the picture, you said, right? And it feels to me like part of you, like, you know, we have little down phases where we're like, okay, I don't want anyone right here because I need to, like, can't deal. But I feel like for you it maybe goes one step a little bit further. It feels like, I just feel like you didn't want anybody to come in and then leave. To me it feels a little bit more in the realm of abandonment. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, so I feel like I've dated, I'm 40, so I've dated a lot, and so I'm really not interested in just, like, dabbling. I'm like, okay, if you're going to show up, at least be purposeful. Maybe that's what you're picking up.
Yeah, and I think really then for that comment, what Evie said cannot be more spot on because, yeah, of course you don't want to waste any more time at this age group. I'm in this age group, and I'm single too, so I get it, totally get it. But, you know, the thing is that it really, not only does it take 3 months to get to know somebody, but you kind of even astrologically look at it as when you meet someone, you meet their rising sign. And it takes time to get past that rising sign and see what other aspects they have and who they really are. So it is worth investing time in every relationship just so you can see whether or not, if they're a clear no, you're going to know pretty quickly, okay?
Yeah.
But I do feel like for you, there is this energy in your tummy of, like, people who come in and I like, they go away. And to me, that feels like that could use a little bit of your attention to do some healing around that.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like with this particular guy, I kind of like his energy. I feel like he is slow, but I also feel like he doesn't really know if you're interested. However, it does not feel like that means you need to go let him know that you're interested.
That wouldn't happen.
Right.
Because I've only talked to him twice in the last 3 weeks, and that's just kind of not what I'm used to. I'm used to, like, you know, let's meet up, let's go here. So it's not like I'm rushing it. I'm just like, huh, this is very peculiar.
This guy is in the picture right now to get you a little bit more comfortable with the thought of being in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I feel like the more you can be like, you know what, it's safe for me to let someone in, I feel like we can get some movement going on this connection.
Awesome. And Michelle, I wanted to share one thing for you and for all the other listeners. This is an energy thing that I've found that's very, very valuable for people. Because when we start, you know, it's understandable when you haven't been in a relationship for a while and then this happens and what does that mean and is he interested and is this going to pan out? And we're kind of getting nervous and maybe a little bit fearful. If you can just shift to kind of quieting down and saying, I am the prize. I am the love goddess. He'd be so lucky to have me in his life. I'm just amazing. And start focusing on that. It's somehow energetically people pick it up and then they usually hear. So if you pull your focus back into yourself. Okay?
Yeah.
And thanks so much for the call, Michelle. It's a great question. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I love what you just said to Michelle there, Evie. That is so spot on. I always tell people to get their inner diva going.
Get the inner diva going. You're divine, baby.
Yeah.
So, Audra, let's take a moment to go into this little the subconscious template. And you said you threw out something that I like to tease clients about a little bit is, you know, things that happened to us in the past really affect us. But when it really comes down to it, doesn't matter whether it was past life in Atlantis or past life in childhood or whatever. But, and I often hear clients kind of say, but you know, we had these past lives and I have karma with him or her, and almost like that can become the way that they get stuck in staying.
Well, yeah, it's almost like you're telling yourself that you can't, that you're powerless, and you have no choices or options because there's a karmic connection.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
that's my official answer on that one. Black.
Right. And what do you suggest to your clients about that?
Well, I mean, I think that that's always true. I apologize for the dog. I feel like that's always true. I mean, there are karmic connections or past life connections with tons of people in our lives, but that doesn't mean we don't have an option or an ability to make a choice. It feels like it's an easy way to get stuck in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just watch your definitions around it.
Yeah. Yes. I agree with that. And I think sometimes that when we're hooked in to somebody for whatever reason and can't let go, we can think it's karma. And then what I like to say is the karma is what a life lesson, what we're trying to learn, maybe to do it differently than from a past life. And sometimes the life lesson isn't to keep hoping this person that you've had a connection with in the past, you know, even if you've made a contract and somehow they're forgotten in this life or they're showing up in the same way, maybe your karma, quote, your life lesson, your soul lesson is to say, no thanks, I deserve better, and walk away. Sometimes I think we confuse this concept of what our karma is. You know what I mean?
I definitely agree with that. We do confuse it. I kind of like to look at karma as the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Karma, you know, not to quote John Lennon in the Instant Karma song, right? But karma is instant always. And it doesn't mean we're going to get paid back. I think people like to throw it around that we're getting paid back for something when we're bad. right?
Yeah. Those of us that were raised Catholic understand that one, right?
Right. But I think instead it's like really we always get what we want. If we believe that we're completely lovable, we're going to attract people who see us as lovable, and then we're going to be receiving love. But when we have that karma, we'll call it, core belief that, you know what, we're isolated and everyone we love ends up leaving us, then we're in these situations where we're attracted to somebody who we believe we have a karmic connection to who's completely unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to get into the power that the karma is actually looking in the mirror and changing it.
Right. And I think sometimes when people look in the mirror, even I can remember reading Eastern philosophy, you know, that looking at whatever this person seems to be doing to you is look in your own life where you've been that way. You know, like I remember trying to apply that in my own past and thinking, well, where have I maybe, you know, been hurtful or whatever to other people? And I kept knowing that maybe that was in the right direction, but it wasn't quite it. And really what it boiled down to me, for me, was the mirror question was, what in me is believing I'm so unlovable or not to be valued? And that's the shift that made the difference. And
exactly.
I think that's something that comes up out of the subconscious as, quote, the core belief.
That's
so
right.
So you're listening
and like
to
we
this.
Can use that. Sorry.
Go ahead, Audra.
We can use stealing as an example, right? Because we've all had stuff stolen from us, right? Mm. Our cars
right.
have gotten broken into. I don't steal stuff from people. So it's like, how am I, you know, why am I attracting then, you know, my iPad or getting stolen out of my car? How did
right.
I attract that, right? And I think
right.
that's where you can then break it down to, no, it's just maybe the deservability. I don't
right.
think I deserve to have these things. And so you've got to get deeper.
That's right. That's right. That is so good. And sometimes in life, things happen. It's like even if there are events that happen in life that we are intended to go through. We're all going to go through cycles of grief.
Mm-hmm.
And loss and things happening. So good stuff, Audra. So you're listening to the Psychic Therapist Show. And my special guest today is Audra Garcia, an amazing psychic who's on the 1-2 Listen Worldwide Psychic Network. And we're happy to take your calls throughout the show. And right now, we will just break to a quick public service announcement. Hi, this is Evie. Would you like to be an earth angel and save a life? Then stop by saveagermanshepherd.com and check it out. Southern California's economy and foreclosure crisis have led to so many dogs being given up for adoption, and local shelters are just busting at the seams, which means that many dogs are euthanized in just a few days. The larger breed dogs have been the most impacted. And German Shepherds, I have two of them. They are the most amazing breed of dog. They're known for their intelligence, loyalty, courage, and devotion to family and children. And shelters are seeing incredibly high numbers of abandoned German Shepherds, and you can help. When you stop by saveagermanshepherd.com, there are two rescue organizations, stellar ones, Coastal German Shepherd and Westside German Shepherd, that rescue and place these beautiful dogs in new homes. Currently, there's over 300 dogs and puppies available for adoption, and the average monthly room and board fee for each dog exceeds $300. Both of these amazing organizations are in financial crisis because of the sheer numbers of dogs needing help. So please take a moment to look at these amazing dogs and their stories of heroism and devotion. You can adopt or foster, and even if you can't adopt or foster, you can sponsor a dog. No donation is too small to help this big-hearted breed. And each organization is equipped to receive donations online from anywhere in the world. So that's saveagermanshepherd.com. We hope you'll check it out and that you'll be as touched as we were and open your hearts with a loving donation for these incredible dogs. Thanks so much for your kindness and support. And we are back with my very special guest, Audra Garcia. And Audra, I have an email question here from from a listener.
Okay.
And her name is Betsy. And the gist of it is that she is very successful in business and a very, quote, as she calls it, strong personality. But it seems she has a pattern in her relationships that she falls in love with people, and that about a year and a half into it, it's like she starts getting the feeling that she's too much, or they start wiggling about, you know, wanting to continue the relationship. Now, this person I know, so I'm going to hold back from saying anything. because I wouldn't be being psychic. So do you have a hint?
Okay.
Actually, all the email questions, I know them. So, it feels like I'm making you do all the work, Audra. But
I'm happy to. It's my favorite thing to do. Okay. And I'm sorry, I didn't catch this gal's first name.
Is Betsy.
Betsy. Okay. I feel like with her, and now she's in a relationship, she's still looking for a relationship, you said, right?
Well, her most recent relationship just ended.
Okay.
And she's heartbroken because he's already with someone else and blah, blah, blah.
Here's the thing with Betsy is I feel like, you know, she's really a go-getter. And she's I feel like she learned early on, like, if anything was going to happen, it was up to her. And so she takes on the responsibility of everything around her. She's a get-it-done girl, which is great, right? Who doesn't want to get stuff done? But it feels like when it comes to relationships, she's taking things on, and she's not able to kind of get into that softer energy of letting a guy come meet her and come take care of her a little bit. I feel like that's what she ultimately wants, but I feel like she's completely afraid that if she lets that happen, they're going to disappoint her. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
So I feel like for her, the best thing she can do for herself is kind of allow herself to be courted, maybe, allow herself to be taken care of. It feels like when she meets somebody, it's easy for her to be like, oh, you need help with that? I'll get on it. Let me help you do this. And then the next thing you know, she's running the whole thing, right? And there's no room for them to do anything. So how are they a valuable participant? And you would think, you know, when we do things like that for people, that they're really appreciative, but what happens is they just become resentful.
Yeah, that's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Where they're like, well, I can't give to you, so I might as well stop. And then people start complaining, well, how come you're not doing this or that for me anymore? How come you don't write me romantic notes? And that, because they feel like they can't, quote, get in. You're
that's
fond
right.
of saying that people need to learn how to open up and receive love. Would you like to share any of the things that you recommend, maybe for the listeners, some of the ways, practical ways that people can, you know, move to a space of opening up to receive love?
Well, you know, that sounds like the easiest, softest, most sweetest thing in the world to do. But you know what? I think we all get completely terrified that we're going to get disappointed or worse, squished if we go there. And so we are super resistant to it. But I think some of the easiest things you can do is just even closing your eyes for a moment and taking a breath and kind of tuning in with that heart chakra area and imagining it open up. And as you're breathing, it kind of expands. You know, I know that heart chakra is associated with green, emerald green light. But I do like to see it as pink because it's more love energy, in my opinion. But, of course, whatever color, you know, somebody feels connected to works. But just imagining that heart space kind of opening. And I think, in addition to that, the most important thing is safety. If you feel safe, you'll take the leap. So if you're always telling yourself, it's safe for me to open up, it's safe for me to receive love, you can start feeling okay to do it.
Right. And I also like to encourage people to bring some of that into their physical reality in preparation for love. Because I've noticed a lot, it sounds like I'm picking on the women today, but it's like that they act a different way when they're without someone in their life. And I say, act the way you would as if you it's like treat yourself like how the love of your life would treat you. Buy yourself some beautiful flowers. Get some of that sexy date underwear and wear it and feel sensual. Set up your bedroom so it looks like two people live in there.
That is so important. And then, what you're saying is brilliant. And then also, once you meet a guy who there might be some potential with, start treating him like you would a friend. Because then, you know what, you're going to be relaxed instead of putting so much pressure on, this is how it needs to be. And it's like, get out of the way.
That's right, because I've noticed that, you know, as people get up there, you know, it's like when we were kids, we thought about dating and meeting somebody. But I've noticed a lot that people are like, I don't want to date. It's like I want to get married, and forgetting that that's part of the process on the way to a long-term relationship. you know, and so people can.
It is a requirement.
It is a requirement. So it's like kind of enjoy the process of it. And I think that's that people have a difficulty because they have a TikTok timeline, and it's a sure way to ensure that that doesn't happen. So it's that kind of relaxing and having that appreciation of yourself, and that enables you to kind of get in that space and listening to things about how wonderful you are. You know, they've done studies that if you can listen to things when you're in an altered state, like in a deep relaxed state like you would with self-hypnosis or a guided visualization that has those affirmations of I'm amazing, I deserve love, all that stuff, that those kinds of things blow past your gatekeeper mind and get deep into the subconscious. And so, and they say that you will manifest something. Like, it's like saying, listening to that 10 times has the same effect as saying an affirmation out loud 10,000 times. And usually people give up by then. Say this stuff right. Doesn't work.
Right. And, you know, Evie, you're a master at that. I mean, the stuff of yours, the work you've done in that regard is phenomenal.
So, yeah. And you know. Well, thanks, Audra. And so, listen, and this is where I want to segue, because I'm such a believer in what I realize is it really does come down to, it's so frustrating for people when they say, but I'm doing all the law of attraction affirmations and I'm doing all the stuff and why am I alone, or why can't I, you know, have this kind of thing, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, I have a questionnaire which shows about us, which brings up some of the subconscious stuff. But I always love having you on the show, and primarily I wanted to have you on now because I was so deeply touched by your purpose and that you have been delving into tarot and that you have created this amazing divination spread that's kind of unique so that you can get messages to people from the subconscious. And, you know, why I was so impressed with that is a lot of people don't realize that the tarot is so much more than a fortune-telling deck. I mean, it's the ancient mystery schools. It's the path of the soul. And Carl Jung was a big believer in this. And there's people that, are, you know, because all the archetypes, everything, it really shows up what's in that deep, super unconscious. So kudos to you. Would you talk about that a little bit, Audra, like what you've developed and how you're seeing it pans out? You know, just a little bit. Go ahead.
Well, you know, with readings, I've always just kind of done what I do. I mean, I don't really use any divination tools, right? I just kind of get in the space, we'll call it, and I just start asking questions and I get information. So, you know, I've always just kind of relied on that spot in my head, I guess we'll call it. And so, you know, that's fun and it's effective and I love it, but I always want something new, right? It's fun to learn new stuff. And I've been really lucky to have Kat over on Once You Listen do some mentoring for me on the tarot. She's really big in the tarot, and, you know, she's been here in Denver and hung out with me, and so she really taught me some good stuff. And in kind of playing with that, she taught me a spread, and then I kind of wanted to adapt it a little bit to get to a little information that I was looking for. And I was blown away on how the cards would say exactly what I was getting already, but then also add some additional information that I maybe hadn't thought about asking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really fun.
Yeah, and you're so humble because, you know, I know that you've been taught it, but what I'm hearing is that you delve deeper, and through came this amazing, unique way of using this to help give people messages from their unconscious about what might actually be blocking their heart's desire and an explanation of the patterns. Could you maybe share, you know, maybe just a couple of examples of that or something, like either, you know, it's from about clients or something, like what you've seen or how it's added some information. I think the listeners would find that fascinating.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I do readings all day, every day, right? And of course, the majority of our callers are gals who want to know, is this guy that calls? Does he love me? Or is the relationship on? Or is it off? That kind of thing. And so, you know, that's why I want to give them more. I don't want to just answer, yes, he's calling on Thursday. It's like, why are you freaking out about it? I wanted to know. Like, what is really the issue? And so that's kind of what inspired me to want to go there. And so, you know, just even psychically on my own, before I started using tarot, I'd start being like, what's the real issue? And I'd start getting information. And so now with the tarot, what I've been doing is kind of asking, like, you know, what I focus on different questions in my mind, but just like, you know, what's the foundation here? And you will see through the cards, like the core beliefs that happened in their house, like, you know, when they were kids, what was going on? What was the energy there? And that's the stuff that gets so programmed in that we don't even notice. That's really what sets the tones of our expectations. So we don't expect guys to give a crap about us. And so that's why we're sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. Does that answer that?
Oh yeah, no, it does. I mean, this is such a deep, rich topic that we could spend months talking about. But
well,
see, what I love is it's bridging both psychology and spirit and the esoteric with psychology, because the core beliefs that we have deep in our core, we're not really aware of. They're deep in the subconscious mind. And, you know, it's like I say, people have had this, quote, relationship template fully formed by the age of 10, because we're like an open little sieve. We haven't really hit that age of reason where we say, well, I think that's crazy. Dad's had a bad day. It's more like he's mad at me and I'm not lovable. We don't even remember this stuff. I mean, clearly, if we grew up in an abusive family or something, yes, that's a whole set of issues you might even be more aware of. But it can come down to something as simple as a little girl comes home, she's made a beautiful drawing, dad's freaking out because it's going to be layoffs at work and there's a big meeting the next morning, and she goes to show him the drawing and he's like kind of abrupt with her. And it can get in there as, I did something wrong, or I'm not important, or all that other stuff. And you think, well, that sounds crazy, because we look at it with our adult conscious mind. Well, how could that impact me? But it's so stunning to me that once people start to uncover what's in there and bring it to consciousness, be it through questionnaires, readings, therapy, that's like the most powerful first step. And this is odd for a psychotherapist to say, but just therapizing and talking about it doesn't make the change.
No, it doesn't. And, like, I love that example, too, of, like, the little girl trying to show her dad something. And the dad comes in and he's like, not now. And so the girl maybe, like, this happens repeatedly. And the girl starts thinking, God, every time I speak, I freak out my dad or I get him upset or frustrated. So then we kind of get it programmed in of, like, don't speak up, don't interrupt, don't say what you need. And then here we are in these relationships, and we're terrified to let the other person know what we need because they're going to go away or yell at us, or we're going to get punished in some way.
Right.
And then our needs go unmet for 30 years, and then we want a divorce and we want to kill them.
Right. And then we meet them again in a different form.
So. Exactly.
So you're listening
to
this.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Audra.
So if you know that it's like, God, what would really make a difference for me is being listened to, then you can start working on that affirmation and start knowing that it's safe to speak up. And then there's so much that you can do to get it going.
Right. There is. And then I want to get into some of that stuff in just a moment. You're listening to The Psychic Therapist Show, and my name is Evie Kane, and my special guest today is Audra Garcia, who's a premier psychic on the One to Listen Worldwide Psychic Network and the host of her own popular radio show called The Love Quest. And we're answering listeners' questions today about love and relationship and shifting some of those heartbreak patterns. Well, Audra, I have another email here from a woman named Elizabeth. And she's a single mom with two kids, and she's in the throes of a nasty divorce with... let's just say somebody who had all sorts of problems with alcohol and then some, and who was very, very abusive. And she's worried about, you know, she said, I realize that, you know, I've kind of had this history of my own anger, and I can see where maybe I pulled in someone like that, and I feel like I've done a lot of work on myself. But of course, then when I hear from him or his lawyer, I'm angry all over again. And, you know, I'd like to get out there and put my toe in the water with dating, but I'm a little bit afraid, you know, like, what do I need to do to ensure that I'm not going to recreate this again in my life?
You know, I have to tell you, I've been pulling cards for every question, and it's so funny, almost the same cards come up for everybody today. Uh-huh. It's crazy. Anyway, it feels like with Elizabeth, you know, I definitely feel like, it doesn't feel like she's had addiction issues, but she feels really watery, like she's mutable herself. Does that make sense what I mean by that?
Well, what do you mean by, like, is she, what would she mean? Because this is someone who I do know, and I know she knows of herself as sort of, how would I describe her? Strong, don't mess with me. So what do you? I don't think she would pick up on what you mean by mutable.
Okay. I feel like with her, she's pretty psychic and she knows what people want. And it feels right. like she's good at meeting their needs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I mean by mutable. Because that you can be strong, but if you're doing what other people want, in a way you're not. They're kind of the ones controlling
right.
it.
Right.
And
right.
so that's what I mean by mutable with her. It feels like okay. it's easy for her to kind of get in there and then really be controlled without noticing it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
okay.
sense for her?
That I would say from my knowledge of that, spot on.
So I feel like for her, what she really needs to do is, well, first off, I have to say, I feel like she really is kind of like, on her way to being over the troubled waters. It feels like she doesn't have much longer to go to get through this, really. So I do feel like that's good for her. I actually feel like for her, what she really needs in a relationship to help her feel good is a sense of security, a sense of safety. So it feels like her using affirmations like, I'm safe, it's safe for me to be secure, which I know that sounds kind of odd, but it, like, I don't think she necessarily does have that secure, safe foundation. She's good at getting stuff done. I mean, she's an achiever, like the last person.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if she necessarily has a sense of safety. I think she may be achieving to try to feel safe. And I don't feel like really deep down it's working.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make
yeah,
sense?
That makes a lot of sense. And my sense is that that's going to be a lot more grounded and locked in once the divorce process is complete.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I definitely, you know, I really see her like traveling over the troubled waters. I feel like she's going to get through this. I mean, she knows that, but it feels like she's going to get through this, and it feels like to help her get through it and to kind of lay that foundation for the next relationship, I'd focus on it's the security, the safety element, and knowing that she can attract someone who helps her feel safe.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when I'm talking to people about this stuff, I don't know if this happens for you with your clients, they're like, geez, Louise, does this mean, you know, like I have to be alone and work on myself? And, you know, almost like, you know, it's like she's saying, is it safe for me to put my toe in the water with dating now? You know, and what's your hit on that?
Yeah. I mean, really, when aren't we working on ourselves? I mean, we all, whether we're in a relationship
right.
or not.
Right. We somehow only think we're working on ourselves if we're consciously saying, okay, now I'm going to work on myself and do this. But we're constantly working on ourselves, right?
Unless we've completely abandoned that and we're only focusing on fixing someone else.
The danger of our professions.
Exactly.
So your recommendation to Elizabeth is it is okay to step out there now?
I think it's definitely okay for her to step out now. I feel like the thing about it is for her, I don't feel like she's necessarily feeling attracted to a lot of people. And I think that that might be scaring her. And then here we are adding to that sense of no security. But it does feel like the attraction piece is going to come back in. She's got to go with like feeling safe and secure inside to help pull in somebody she feels attracted to.
Right. And I'm picking up that this feeling of not being attracted to people right now is a little deeper because she's so psychic and she's changing her and raising her own vibration by getting out of this abusive relationship. So she's not drawn to the same kind of men that she typically would have been drawn to. And well, the exactly. other, and they, yeah, and the others may not, quote, feel like that same kind of attraction yet. It's sort of a transitioning process, and I completely agree. I mean, I feel like she's going to be finding people very attractive in about 2 or 3 months.
I completely agree with that. And yeah, the guy she was attracted to before, it was she was attracted to him because she could feel what they needed, and she knew she could supply that.
Right. Like we're the needs fulfillment machine instead of the mutual partner in a
exactly.
true love relationship.
And I see her definitely, without question, having a mutually balanced relationship.
Yeah, and I see her having a happy marriage, having a really happy marriage again.
Yeah, with a lot of passion. She likes passion. So.
Yes. Yeah, it's you gotta have passion. Why else be partnered?
Some people it's not important to them, but Michelle.
I know.
Or
but see, then even
sure.
even
yeah, yeah.
then, I always want to dig deeper to that subconscious.
Well, me too.
Really, because there's some sort of shutting down thing that the ego will tell you that's not important, and whatever that's deadened something. You know, so I'm really passionate about people getting to their passion. And if it isn't in relationship, it's in work or something. But when I hear it doesn't really matter that much, I go, oh, it's going to go deeper. It's like, oh, that's interesting.
I agree. It's even a question, though, on like the eHarmony application. How important is passion to you and stuff like that? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I think that's interesting that some people say it isn't.
Some people say it isn't. That's where I want to say interesting. Was it ever?
Mm-hmm.
And I still say it's something in the template from before the
age
of 10. Yeah.
I agree.
Audra, maybe we should try and pull this together because we say, you know, so like kind of like what does all this mean and how can people have their heart's desire? Do you have any we talked about some practical tips and ways. We've mentioned a few. Do you have any others and like how people can make changes in their life and some practical tips for being open to receiving love and having that really true, right relationship?
Oh, other practical things they can do. I think, you know, you got to keep it simple. You gotta keep it simple. I think so many people they're like, okay, I've gotta work on myself. I gotta be open. I gotta make my list of who I want. You know, that's a lot of work. And yes, it does require some work, but the most important work is trying to relax. And I hate to even say that. It's an oxymoron, right? Trying to relax.
Yes.
But you do have to get into that space of being open and receptive. So I think really practical things you can do is trying to have some fun with your friends. Get comfortable. Everybody who you meet, just act like they're a new possible friend. I think that's going to really help you get more comfortable with talking to people so you don't seem like you're constantly interviewing somebody. And then, like, if you already are in a love relationship and you're just trying to feel more love in there, I think you've got to just start internally giving yourself lots of good self-talk along the lines of, like, hey, it's okay for me to have more here, and imagining what it feels like to have more.
Mm-hmm.
For those
practical
things, I kind of went on a rampage there, and now I lost track of where I was.
Oh, you hardly went on a rampage, but I would love to see that. Would you like to rampage on? We were talking about some of the practical tips for starting to shift.
I start talking, and I lose track of what I'm even saying.
You were talking about relaxing. And
yeah.
enjoying friendships and the things that we're doing now. Because, you know, it's true. It's like energy's everything. If you have a relaxed vibration, you're more attractive. It's like people just tend to notice you more.
Well, yeah. And it's like we got to remember we're our own generators or source of love energy. We think out there, if they love me, it always feels better if they love me. But mm-hmm. it's us. We're the generator.
Right, and it all comes from within. It's one of the things that – a couple of things I wanted to add to that because we're talking about what's in our subconscious is that there's some very powerful ways to shift some of these things. I'll just throw out there's a wonderful website called EFT.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, universe.com. It's like emotional acupressure, and you can say things to yourself as you tap certain points, and it starts to shift things, and it brings things up without like years and years of therapy. It's pretty remarkable stuff, because a lot of times, like, we don't even know what's in there, but the body holds the memory of it. And this helps release that. A lot of times, you know, it's like you can say something about currently what's going on in your life now and saying, even though yada, 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 I love myself. Well, that sounds crazy that would make any difference, but with the tapping on these certain points, it does. And then the other thing I wanted to mention is that it's a very exciting time to be on the planet, because finally science and spirituality are starting to merge. And there's so much stuff out there about how to retrain your brain, because we have these
neural brain and
all this stuff, and it's just fascinating. I know I'll be talking about some of that stuff on your show next week, Audra, but it's awesome what you can do now versus what people had to do before, because the aha, oh, now I get it, is just the first step. Because you really have to get it down into your body, into your cells, and take some different actions while you're doing it that makes the huge difference. Now I sound like I'm on my pulpit. Did you want to add something else?
Well, it's so true. Like, seriously, I could talk about this for hours and hours on end, because I love it, and I think it's so fascinating, and it's so fun to like watch people get stuck in your stuff and then be able to move out of it. But the thing is, we have this programming, like, I'm loved if I'm married, or I'm loved if I'm in a long-term relationship. And it's like, really? That's the only way you're loved in the world? Like, can we get rid of that now, please? And it does seem like there's some evolving in the world regarding that, right?
Right. Right. Regarding that and a lot. And I'm glad that I'm saying this tongue-in-cheeky, but I'm glad that science is catching up with spirituality.
Yeah.
Giving us some new tools. Well, Audra, I can't believe this hour has just flown by, and I want to take a few moments to let the listeners know how to reach you. You can be reached, is it at 12listen.com?
Yep, I am at 12listen.com, and I am logged on there pretty much every day of the week, at least most of the day or part of the day.
Right. And then you told me, and this is what I'm so interested in for the listeners, because this thing that you have put together is phenomenal, this Heart's Desire reading. Would you talk a little bit about that, Audra?
Yeah, and you know, it's like, in a way, it's difficult to talk about it because it's really, really individualized for each person. But it's an email-based reading that I offer over on 12listen, and it's called the Heart's Desire Report. And in that, I do these two different card spreads, as well as spend some time in meditation on each person, focusing on where their beliefs are about receiving love, and then what this person specifically can do to help shift it. Because, you know, we can definitely talk about tools, like we talked about breathing and changing your perceptions and all that, and those are true for everybody, but not everybody has the exact same belief system. So if you look at each person individually, that's where it can get really specific. It's, you know, some people it's a safety, some people it's being heard, some people it's, you know, financial security. It's all different stuff for every person. Mm-hmm. So in the report, we'll talk about what are the real needs and how to address them to get those needs met.
Beautiful, and it's the work that comes out of the subconscious, the unconscious, and it sounds a little bit like, it's like you broke it down into areas, because, yeah, there's huge issues with, you know, trust and abandonment, security, all that good stuff. Now, once again, Audra, I know you're incredibly humble, so I want to say this to the listeners. If I was single, I would be emailing Audra right now, because this is so much more than a reading. Audra's an amazing psychic, but when she says, yeah, I'll do a spread, she's going to be pulling anywhere from 13 to 20 tarot cards on your behalf while she's in her incredible state of the way that she does her work. So it's just amazing. Yeah. And you were wanting to offer, I know, the listeners could you talk about that, Audra?
The report is normally $175, And right now I'm going to offer it for all of your listeners through the end of the month, so through July 31st at $125.
Right. Well, like I said, that is, you know, people who don't know you don't even realize what a phenomenal thing that is, because,
yeah, well, thank you.
You know, good God, that's less than the cost of, you know, getting your hair highlighted.
Absolutely.
Which is the kind of things people do when they're going out dating. I'm like, why not give yourself the opportunity to see what's really in there? Well, Audra,
I'm addicted to my hair, girl.
Right. And then I've mentioned your radio show a few times and the Love mm-hmm. Quest, and it's Wednesday mornings is it 9 o'clock California time?
Yes, it's 9 a.m. Pacific, and it is a live show. So it'll be on 12radio.com, and this next Wednesday, which is the 27th, you will be my guest, which I'm so excited about. And we also have a live chat room during the show, so if anybody wants to come hang out and ask questions in the chat room, we'll be there. We can take calls, and it should be fun. We're going to be talking more about love.
Love, the universe.
Love.
Important thing. Well, Audra,
I thank you so
very much for being with us today. It's always a pleasure. And thanks so much for, you know, being so passionate and on purpose with helping people in their life with this beautiful new divination work that you're doing. So
thank
just
you
bless
so
you.
Much,
and you've been such a blessing to have here today. Thanks again, Audra.
Thank you.
So as we bring the show to the close, we'll take a moment to do our inspiration point of the week and think about upgrading your love light. Your love light. Well, that's actually quite true, even though I meant to say upgrade your love life. It does kind of go together. Abraham Hicks says, give yourself the love you seek, and the universe will send people who match it. Several months after attending a seminar that I had given, one of the participants, let's call her Anne, wrote me a follow-up thank you letter, and Anne reported, as you know, Evie, I was married to a man who was both emotionally absent and abusive. And after long and frustrating attempts to infuse life into my marriage, I told my husband I wanted a divorce, and he refused to give it to me. So I decided, based on what we had been talking about in the class, that even if he didn't love me, I would love me. I decided to give myself the love and kindness that I had been seeking from him. I wrote myself a long poetic love letter, the kind I wanted to receive from a passionate, appreciative lover. Dear Anne, I wrote, you are fabulously beautiful, sexy, brilliant, and intriguing. I can't wait to see you, hold you in my arms, and make love to you with all my heart and soul. That felt so good that the next day I wrote myself another love letter, and the next day another one, and so on for several weeks. And as crazy as it sounds, it felt so good to receive love, even from myself. After several weeks, my husband found one of the letters, and since it was unsigned, he assumed it was from another man. He came to me furiously waving the letter in his hand and told me, I can't compete with this. You can have your stinking divorce. And now I'm free. Thank you. You know, the law of attraction operates on the basis of matching energy. When Anne did not love herself, she attracted a man who did not love her and yet wouldn't even let her leave. When she changed her frequency to one of self-love, her husband really only had two choices: to rise to match her newfound sense of love or to leave. Anne literally loved herself out of a bad situation, and you can do the same. If you're experiencing loneliness and or boredom or abuse or neglect in any areas of love in your life, in relationships, friendships, stop attempting to get other people to give you what you want or getting them to change. Instead, give yourself that love, respect, and appreciation you desire from others and so deserve. And someone or many someones will show up to reflect it back to you. It's the law. as a starting point, here's an affirmation that maybe you could put on a recording and hear your voice get right into your subconscious. I give myself the love I seek, and the law of attraction arranges my life and love in my favor. This is Evie Kane, the psychic therapist. Feel free to email me your questions for any everyday life challenge you may be experiencing at evie@eviekane.com. And thank you so much for all your ongoing love and support for the show and for joining us today. And we'll see you back here for the next show. And until then, remember to let your love and your light brightly shine.
So I can see you shining down on me.